The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 486. I hope all is well with you out there. Thank you very, very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. We're going to talk about making movies on this edition, and I've had the pleasure of sitting down and talking with Carissa Pearson, who is the executive producer and also the co-director of a film called A Soldier's Descent. It's a very interesting film because it is a horror movie, but underneath the horror, there's a strong message about how people are treated in our society, especially those folks who are veterans who have PTSD. So I was very interested when I talked to Carissa about how they decided to merge those two topics together, because I imagine many of you were kind of like me. How do you take two topics that are kind of not anyways closely related and merge them together into an entertaining yet informative movie? And Carissa certainly has done that with the script for A Soldier's Descent. So we're going to talk about all the details of the film, timetables, cast and crew, inspiration. We'll even talk about the Indiegogo campaign that's helping to sponsor the film. So sit back and relax and get ready for a very interesting conversation with Carissa. But before we do that, I have some news. That is that there is a new sponsor for the PVD Cast. That's right. As I mention all the time, I am so blessed to have World's Greatest Comics as a sponsor of the PVD Cast. But now I can add Courtney614 Online Sales. Courtney614 Online Sales has everything you need for health and beauty and women's fashions at reasonable prices. I even hear a rumor that they're starting something a little bit more offbeat, such as having to do with China, but more on that in a little bit. And they're available through all of those online auction sites, whether you're talking about Mercari or Depop or, of course, Whatnot. All you have to do, they've made it easy for you. All you have to do is when you go to one of these auction sites, if you want to see if Courtney614 Online Sales is available, search for Courtney614, that's C-O-R-T-N-E-Y 614, or on some of those sites, you may have to put in Courtney_614. So to clarify once again, if you want great deals on health and beauty products, women's fashions, and soon some fancy Blue Willow China, then you definitely want to check out Courtney614 Online Sales. Again, Courtney, C-O-R-T-N-E-Y 614, or Courtney, C-O-R-T-N-E-Y _614 to get some great deals. And I want to thank all the folks affiliated with that online retailer for their support. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Carissa Pearson talking about the movie A Soldier's Descent. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening, I am sitting down with Carissa Pearson, the executive producer and co-director for A Soldier's Descent, and also the CEO of Deathstalker Productions. Carissa, how are you this evening?
I'm fabulous, living up that lovely summer lifestyle in the Carolinas.
And let me guess, it's a little hot and a little humid.
Yes, hot, humid, and my furry husky loves Shadow and Natasha are not happy because we have not been able to hit those trails.
Yes, I imagine that they would be very unenthused about going on walks wearing that fur coat, I suppose.
Well, Natasha thinks I'm trying to kill her. She looks back at me and she's like, "You don't have a fur coat. You must be trying to kill me."
Well, let's start off by talking about A Soldier's Descent. Can you give us a brief summary of the project, you know, without giving away too much?
I love talking about A Soldier's Descent. It is, it means a lot to me. And my husband always says, Andrew always mentions that I talk too much about it. And then sometimes I just go on and on. So I don't like to bore people. Because when you dive into productions and producing movies and you're in the midst of it, it just begins to consume your life. But A Soldier's Descent is, it's in funding still. We should be wrapping up funding soon and going into filming production in November. So we're still trying to get the logistics now of the site location and working on that, as well as the funding pieces to it and adding some more cast as well. It is a movie that is a horror slasher movie is what I like to call it, with bringing in hard, heavy-hitting life topics that a lot of our veterans and our military deal with when they come back from deployment, whatever that looks like. A lot of them come back with PTSD, come back trying to get back into the civilian lifestyle, and it's tough. So you journey with Barney and go down a wonderful journey and watch how he deals with life and what life brings him and the adventurous carnage that happens when life just takes everything from a man.
You know, you talked about PTSD, and from my research, it seems that that's the underlying theme for the film. Definitely impacts a lot of people, PTSD. In fact, if I remember correctly, you've had some issues with PTSD because of your work of being a trauma nurse. What's your thoughts and overall idea when it comes to PTSD of how to help those that may be suffering from it?
So the reason I'm doing this piece, and I have decided to really bring in what PTSD looks like for folks, and it's different for everyone. And how we handle it is different for everyone. But the reason that I felt to bring it in the forefront and put it in my piece and bring you some horror entertainment while we dive into it is that not enough people talk about it and there's not enough resources. And if we can get a piece out there that entertains folks at the same time of giving you an opportunity to take a look at what this feels like and what it looks like, and then maybe we can have some hard conversations and people actually picking up the phone and checking on people rather than having those statistics of 17 veterans a day. And it's more than that of just men and women. Women aren't reported as much as men are for suicide. And being a trauma nurse and being in the critical care realm, I see what mental health does to people on a day-to-day basis. And it's just horrifying that we don't have enough out there. You know, we have some great films, but I feel like we just need to talk about it more and see what it looks like.
And if I may ask a personal question, as a critical care nurse and as a trauma nurse, it probably impacts you. I imagine there have been times where you've had a day where just the worst things that could happen to a person falls in your lap because they're in your hospital for care or whatnot, and that has to wear on you a little bit.
Oh, yeah, it does. I've been doing critical care nursing for 30 plus years. I've been in it a long time. And there are days that I come home and you can just, my husband knows, I can't talk about it. I can't help you understand it unless I get into my creative realm. And that's why I like doing movies and creating something so that I can show people what this feels like. And there are times when I can't even put it into words what I feel like. And it's exhausting. And I am proud to be a nurse, and I would never change that because that is my purpose. And I love helping people get through things and just being kind. And I think a lot of times in the world, we don't have enough of kindness. We're so busy and so focused. We have the blinders on, and it's and people don't realize it, but they get into this realm of it's all about me, 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 mm-hmm. when it really isn't. We're in a village and we need to help each other. And it doesn't mean that you have to give your last buck out to somebody. It just means just be kind, hold the door open, you know? You see somebody struggling with a grocery cart, help them. That's all, you know? And I think nursing has taught, has humbled me a lot in my years. It has taught me a lot of lessons and has given me a love for horror and a love for, I enjoy watching horror films more than I do rom-coms.
Why is that?
I think it's part of my, it's part of my healing trauma aspect. Honestly, I enjoy a good horror flick. I'm the girl that's in the movie theater that is giggling and laughing when someone is getting gutted and the blood's going everywhere. And, you know, and I like watching it because I sit there and I go, well, that really isn't how it looks. And if you ever get an opportunity to watch on my Indiegogo campaign, I have our proof of concept. And I'm very proud of my gut scene in my proof of concept. You always, when you're creating a movie, you make a proof of concept to give the people that you're having back you and fund you an idea of what the movie is going to be like. It's not the total aspect of the movie. It just gives you the sense and taste of what you're going to see. So I made sure that my gut scene was realist.
Who or what is some of the inspiration that you use when you're being creative and you're creating a movie and you're coming up with different ideas? Is there a particular movie maker that you're a big fan of, or a writer that you're a big fan of, or does the inspiration come from somewhere else?
It's a lot of different things. I love Dean Koontz's books. I love Stephen King. A lot of times I felt like a lot of his books were not, you can't bring it in what a book gives you into a movie so easily. And a lot of them are hard. And you hear a lot of people come back and say, well, that wasn't like the book. Well, yeah, because you have your imagination. In a book, you've got your imagination. And in a movie, yeah, you have your imagination, but there's limitations to it. When it comes to movies, I am Nightmare on Elm Street girl. I love Nightmare on Elm Street. And I love Nefarious. That was one of the recent ones I did enjoy. I thought that they portrayed the concept of a demon taking over somebody and actually living in society and then killing, making someone kill someone was true carnage. And it was very interesting.
Okay. All right. And classic too, because, you know, yeah. that's from the 80s. That's back, you know, when it, dare I say, slasher films are at the peak, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I also love Final Destination. I loved all of those. I'm not really thrilled about the most recent one. I felt disappointed, but it's because I liked the original one. And I realized that. And then when I went back to watch it again, because I watch movies more than once, I like to take a look at them first time and then go back and look at them for something different, a different look. And I thought that they did a lot of good work on the scene in the tower. But then I just felt like they just fizzled and they didn't, they took it in a different direction and I feel like they lost their audience. But, you know, I'm not the expert of all of that. And I commend somebody for taking a whack at it. And I think that's commendable.
Well, let's talk about Phil Herman, who is the writer of A Soldier's Descent. How did you end up working with Phil and how was that experience?
I love telling this story. Because I love Phil Herman. the reason that I ended up working with Phil Herman is Andrew came home one day and he was just all in an uproar. And I'm a Scorpio, so that's my astrology sign. And I am a true Scorpio. And you don't tell me that I can't do anything as a woman and a Scorpio because I'm going to get it done. And so Phil told Andrew he wanted Deathstalker's team to do a scene in the movie for Jacker 3. And he goes, and I want your wife to play the victim. And so I play Maria. But Andrew's like, my wife doesn't go in front of the camera. She's behind the camera. She's not going to go for it. And he comes home and tells me the idea. And he goes, and I told him no. And I said, you did what? I've always wanted to be at least a victim one time, you know? So we ended up shooting that scene, and Jacker 3 is coming out the end of July, this July. It'll be out and available on DVD. And so we did that scene, and that was amazing. And then Phil said, hey, Andrew, Carissa, do you want to take a look at a couple scripts I have? And I'm like, okay, we'll take a look at it. And I started reading A Soldier's Descent and fell in love with it because I'm a daughter of a Vietnam veteran. And a lot of my uncles, actually all of my uncles, were in the service. So I could actually connect with a lot of the feelings that were put into the characters. And I decided that I would do that one with Phil. And I have the other one sitting on my desk for a later time. But we decided to take a whack at that.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the process. You said you're not all the way finished with casting, but you have casted a few folks in roles. So what's the process for casting when it comes to you and your, you know, completing that job and your way that you like to complete that job?
Well, it's difficult in an independent film arena. It looks very different than the Hollywood arena. When I say the Hollywood arena, I'm talking like Big Brother, Blumhouse, and MGM, and A24. They have the massive budget, but it doesn't mean that the product is great or that they're, you know, they're hitting great home runs all the time. In an indie film, you have to be very creative in your process. You have to be very, you have to love what you're doing. And so casting is, it's interesting. I have a great cast. I love my cast that have come aboard. I love all of my crew as well. I have great relationships with them. And the process is, it's very personal.
Okay.
And I like to get to know the people that are coming on my set. I like to have a relationship so that there's, because there's a trust behind, when you're making a film, there's a lot of trust to go in front of that camera and bare your soul. And trust your director, who my director is Guthrie Lowe, and I am directing with him. And just to trust the process, there's a lot to it. And, you know, because characters, when you are creating a character, and I don't mean to slow down in that piece, but when you're creating your characters and developing them, you want your audience to fall in love with them so that as you go down that road with Barney and you go down the road with the campers, you're rooting for the campers to survive and you're rooting for Barney to survive too, but you're pulled and it's a process.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel that this is the number one thing, and it doesn't matter if you're talking about a Western, a horror film, a comedy, a drama, there has to be a connection to those characters. You know, there's been many times where I have watched the film and I could care less, like what happens to these people and to me, because they haven't made me care about them.
Yeah. And I think a lot of films miss out on that. You know, a lot of people miss out on it because either they developed them, but yet the cast wasn't able to get across what it was because they weren't able to connect with their character. And so I think a lot of that is important.
With your crew, was it a challenge to find those folks who are incredibly skilled at whether it's lighting or whether it is being the director of photography, or was it a challenge to find those folks in the Carolina area, or was it relatively, I don't want to say easy, but it wasn't as bad as maybe some people might think it might be, or as challenging as some people might think it is?
Well, it is challenging. I'll be honest with you. A lot of this is challenging. I'm not in LA and in the Hollywood area where you have so many resources and so many people trying to get work. And I'm not in Vegas where they have more resources there as well. And the Carolinas, like I shared with you when I shared with you how I describe the Carolinas, because when I tell somebody I'm in North Carolina in the Pinehurst area, they look at me like they don't know where that is. And I wonder, did you take geography class? You know, the United States is cool, or did you just kind of put that on the shelf? So instead, I make it hilarious, and I just tell people, yeah, I'm in the witness protection plan. And then it's just a running joke. But my crew, my director of photography is Chris Warren. I worked with him on a couple different sets. And he was with me when I did Jacker 3, the scene for Jacker 3 for Phil. And I just love how he works. He's very hardworking. And Guthrie and I have worked on several projects together, and I enjoy Guthrie. He's a breath of fresh air. He doesn't like to do any interviews, so trying to drag him on an interview is almost impossible. But maybe one day I'll win that bet. I have picked him for the director because he loves horror more than I do. And I mean, he loves the old horror movies that some of them I don't even remember. And he'll tell me about it. And I'm like, holy cow, you're right. That scene was there. And so it's been fun digging into the script and reworking the script more so that it is ready for theatrical production. And with Guthrie and Phil and I, it's been a blast.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Carissa for just one moment to talk to you about the newest sponsor of the PVD cast, Courtney 614 Online Sales. They're a great place to get awesome deals on health and beauty products and women's clothing. So all you have to do is go to your favorite online auction app, go to the search bar, plug in Courtney 614, that's Courtney 614, or in some sites, Courtney, same spelling, _ 614 to see if you can get some great deals through Courtney 614 Online Sales. Well, let's talk about three main stars real quick. The first one being Andrew Pearson, who is your husband. How is that to work with your husband on set? Because I can imagine being a married man myself, you know, it sometimes can be testy to work with your, you know, luckily, my wife and I built a shed a couple of summers ago. We didn't kill each other, so I think that we're pretty good. I think that's rock solid. We made it. Yeah, there's nothing that can tear us apart. In all seriousness, how was it to work with your husband?
I have been working with my husband for years. And when I told him that I wanted to start a movie production company, he didn't bat an eye. He already knew not to say no. And he said, well, let's see what we can do. And it's been a challenge because I have a lot to learn in some areas, but it's also been a wonderful too to be able to support him through his acting career and be able to support one another. There are a lot of arguments in the house. Sometimes you learn not to set it aside. You learn to get better at it. Because, you know, there are things in the industry that are difficult and challenging, and you can't always move that mountain. So you have to figure out how to be more creative and getting accomplished what you want to get accomplished without killing each other.
Okay. You know what? I have a couple other questions about some other actors and actresses, but let's talk about Deathstalker Productions, because you just mentioned it, that you wanted to create this production company, you know, and Andrew was supportive of it. So why did you want to start this production company?
Well, I realized that I can't actively be doing nursing my whole life. And I don't plan on kicking the bucket the next day unless God decides to take me. And I wanted something fun to do when I'm not working. Something that I enjoy and love besides creating art and painting. I wanted to do something that would support not just myself, but actually start working on entertaining people, but getting some of these hard hitting topics out there that I see as nursing hasn't been done. And maybe leaving something behind and not necessarily a legacy, but you know, something that people can go, wow, I get that. Or I understand where that character came from. And maybe give some hope, because I feel like a lot of times in life, you never know where each other are in the process of your lives. And sometimes just that one smile or that one inspirational song that you hear that a musician's made or the one movie is all it took to get you to move another step forward. And I want to leave an impact like that. You know, I want my films to inspire others, but at the same time, be very entertaining.
So what projects do you have scheduled for Deathstalker Productions once you're finished with A Soldier's Descent?
I have two other projects sitting on my desk that I can't really go into a lot of detail right now, but I do have another short film that I'm taking a look at, another horror. And then I have another grunge movie that I'm looking at as well.
Okay.
But I can't really go into details about them right now.
Okay, are they for what you wrote, or are they from other writers, those two projects?
The grunge one is one of Phil's that he gave me that I'm going to take a look at and take a shot at and really make it dark.
Okay. And the other one is from you?
The other one is from me and some other resources that I'm going to be tapping their shoulders and having them work with me on. And it's going to be very low budget, but it's going to be good.
Okay.
Because that's what I like about independent film. You can do a lot of things and be creative, and it doesn't have to break the bank.
Correct. Absolutely. If you know of the resources that are available to you, then you know use those resources to keep that budget.
Those are hard lessons too, when you think about it. Because
oh yeah.
Even in life, you think, wow, did I really need to purchase that? Could I have gotten away with just tapping a friend?
Right. Absolutely. Well, let's go back to talking about the main stars. One individual that I was curious about is Zachary Vasquez. On IMDb, he's got a very lengthy resume. Do you think that veteran presence helped the production of, or will help the production of A Soldier's Descent?
I've worked with Zach in on Alien Horde. It was another cameo that I did with Andrew and Zach. I was a bartender and had a scene with Zach. And I enjoyed working with him, and I really enjoy talking to him. And Andrew asked me to bring him on. And I agreed with Andrew. I thought, yeah, I think he would give us a great presence in the role that he is playing.
Okay.
So yeah, and he does an excellent job when he's on set, and he's very professional and thorough. He really studies his roles and brings it.
And then lastly, this character is playing herself, Air Force Amy. So can you explain a little bit to the listeners just who is Air Force Amy?
Well, I love Air Force Amy, and I wanted to bring somebody on that is well respected in the veteran world. She is an Air Force veteran, and I really like her because honestly, she's been through a lot, and as a woman, I look up to what she's done and accomplished in her lifetime to have been on a tarmac commanding things and having a presence in the military, and then being a madame at Alien Horde, or it's an alien brothel that's out in Vegas. And it's fascinating to me. And I watched her in the Cat House series on HBO, and I loved her personality, and I love the fact that she's bubbly and she's professional. And that's why I decided to sign her as herself, and she's playing a bartender. And the funniest thing is she doesn't drink. She's like, well, is there going to be alcohol there? I'm like, probably, but we're not going to be drinking it. We're on set. I'm like, it'll be all right.
Well, you mentioned it a little while ago when we first started talking that there is a campaign to help with the funding of the movie. Could I ask what's the current status of that campaign?
It's still active, and we have lots of perks on it. We have producer perks, veteran producer perks as well. I have a lot of veterans working with me on the movie as well and giving me feedback and letting me know a lot of military things that I don't always understand. and giving me great advice. We have a bar theme that is a wonderful perk that folks can purchase and be in the same scene that Air Force Amy and Barney and Lenny are going to be in. And we have something cool that I thought, wow, let's see if people really want this, is you could put your picture in the film as well. So you could have your picture as a missing person in the film. And I thought that was so cool because I've seen a lot of movies do that, and I was going to play that off and you put a little egg in there for my next feature with that scene. But I really wanted folks to have an opportunity because not everyone can go on set and not everyone is comfortable, you know, flying out and coming and going on set or have the ability to. And I wanted to give people that don't an option to have their picture in the movie because wouldn't it be cool?
Yeah, and that's very creative. Missing, they're missing posters. That's very creative. I like that.
Well, you remember, a lot of people don't, because this new era generation of kids, they didn't see what it was like when we had the missing kids on the milk cartons.
Yeah.
And I remember growing up with that. And, you know, I was like, well, that would be cool because I really want, I have a couple scenes slotted for the missing persons. Because they're missing, and I'm tying it into the movie, and I thought, oh, it would be really cool if anybody wanted to get their face in the film, they'd have an opportunity to be on screen.
So currently, the film is in what stage? You just starting principal photography, I presume?
I'm still trying to finish up the loose ends of the script. I have three endings that I have argued with my my Death Stalker Productions partner, Andrew. And so I've decided I'm going to shoot all three endings. I'm not telling anybody until I decide at the very end which one will get slotted for the theater, and then the other two will be put in for the distribution aspect. So you'll be able to see the other two versions of it. So I'm trying to tie that up with Guthrie, who is currently busy right now. And so I have been able to finish up the script and tie a couple loose ends down. And we're still casting, and there are roles available that you can take a look at our campaign and see if you want to come on. Also, I'm working now logistically trying to find some of the sites. I decided that I was going to film out in LA, but as people have been changing their lives up a little bit in my crew, a lot of my crew are relocating and coming closer towards me. I decided, okay, fine. I love North Carolina, and I love the fact that I'm in the witness protection plan out here in the middle of, you know, the pines and the mountains. And I thought, this place is just so gorgeous. I'd love to share it with others. And so I'm going to be filming in North Carolina. And so I'm looking for locations and scouting out you know, different sites, seeing it, what would fit, and trying to make sure that on some of our locations, we don't get shot by the deer hunters. It might be deer season.
Yeah, we don't want that. I think that we're in an era now where you don't have to be in LA or New York City anymore. You know, you could be anywhere. And that shows because, like, Atlanta is blowing up with all kinds of productions, you know. So I think that it's a brilliant time for filmmakers.
Yeah, I agree too. And I think that, honestly, when we got into this and I decided that I wanted to do this, my husband and I were sitting in a theater in Orlando. At that time, we were in Orlando. And before we uprooted and changed our lives completely, and we were sitting in the movie theater watching Terrifier, which is, you know, they had an Indiegogo campaign. They were crowdfunded that movie, and they got into the movie theaters. And you know, I love Terrifier 2. I thought it was amazing. I enjoyed that film, and we looked at each other and were like, we could do this, and decided why not.
All right, well, let's real quickly here switch gears for a moment, because I have a question that I have to ask you that really kind of maybe does have a connection to your producing of movies, but maybe doesn't. You had a career for a while in radio, correct?
Yeah.
And you got to work with some really cool people, according to my sources. So who was the coolest musical act you got a chance to work with, if I can just put you on the spot?
Oh, gosh, you did put me on the spot, because a lot of people nowadays won't even... I will tell you a really cool story, okay?
Okay, okay.
And I think people will laugh at this, because it's kind of humbling as a wife, because I worked with my husband in radio. And I only did it, I did it to help him out and to be a supportive wife. And I started doing promotions and started working with, and a lot of it is setting up the venues and setting up the artists, picking them artists up from the airport and things like that, and doing interviews. So we ended up being, we were in Billings, Montana, and I was working, with my husband on Hot 117. I never had my voice on air. Okay. I was the promotions director and I did the promotions. So we were at, I think it was the Montana Zoo, one of their events, and it was a concert, and Loverboy was there.
Oh.
And my husband's like, he has all this stuff to do the interview, and he wants to do the interview with the lead of Loverboy. And he wouldn't talk to my husband. He just kept talking to me. And Andrew was getting kind of frustrated. So he handed me all of it and he goes, "You do the interview." And I'm like, you know, gullible me. I'm like, okay, fine. I'll be supportive. I'll help you. I did the interview and I took some pictures with Loverboy, and it was, I liked it. I enjoyed it, but it was kind of, very disheartening when you hear the interview and you're not in the interview. So he took my voice out of it and put his voice in. And if that's not taking one for the team, I don't know what is.
Oh, that's awesome. That is an awesome story. For many reasons. One, it was in Montana. Two, it was Loverboy. And three, the antics of your husband. So, I mean, that's a hat trick.
It is a hat trick. And you learn, and I think that's when I really learned how to be supportive of one another. And I think a lot of people don't realize that, you know, in a marriage, it's give and take. And it's not just always give and take. It's sometimes you may not be at 100%, so you might be giving 80% today, and your partner has to come up with a lot, you know, vice versa, if that makes sense.
Yeah, does make perfect sense. All right, Carissa, we're getting to that time here where we want to start wrapping things up. So let's talk about where folks can find the campaign, social media, you know, website, if you have one, all that stuff. So can you break that on down for us?
I can, and I get excited when I get to break that down. We actually have a public group on Facebook, and I never get it right because I didn't set it. I had Phil set it up for me because he had time at that time, and I just did not. But let me get the right name to it. It is called Phillips Herman, A Soldier's Descent. And I believe we have about 450 members that are on our site, and you can ask questions, and we do announcements as well and let folks know what's going on as we continue our production. For our campaign, you can go to Indiegogo and put A Soldier's Descent in, and you'll find us there. And then also you can go to my public page, Carissa Pearson, and you can follow me there. I post a lot of crazy things on my page. I support a lot of independent filmmakers as well. I like to collaborate with a lot of folks. And you can also go to Andrew Pearson's Facebook page as well. And he promotes a lot of our movie. He does a lot of the marketing for me for Death Stalker Productions. A lot of the marketing and advertising for me.
That's the reason why you need to keep tabs on Carissa and all of the social media and the Indiegogo campaign, so that you can stay aware as to when the project is coming on out. And you know what? It sounds like a fantastic idea, a great concept. Folks, go support Carissa and her crew. Anything else you want to say real quick before we wrap things up?
Yeah, I would like to tell everybody to please be kind to one another. Please, 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 please check on your friends and your family and people that you work with. You never know where they're at mentally, and you never know where they're at just in the day-to-day life. Just remember that life is so short. Please go out there and just live it to its best and be kind to one another.
There you go. Great words of advice. Carissa Pearson, thank you so very much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to sit down and chat with me. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me on and allowing me the opportunity to talk about a project that's really close to my heart.
You got it. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of that break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Carissa Pearson talking about her project, A Soldier's Descent. And if you like what you heard, go over to the Indiegogo campaign. And if you can, put down some money, which will help out Carissa and her crew make this movie. But don't forget that if you want to keep updated on the status of the project, visit their social media outlets as well. And spread the word. Tell folks that you know, especially movie buffs, about this really original tale that Carissa has crafted. And I want to thank Carissa for taking some time out of her busy schedule to sit down and chat with me. All right, now I need to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode or any episode for that matter. First of all, you can shoot me an email. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is the email address. You can also find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. And you can also leave me a message over on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Just search for @PVDcast. Maybe you want to let some folks know where they can hear the show. Well, there's a couple different options for that as well. First, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and probably the best place to get every new episode. But it's also available through all of those online outlets and apps. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcasting outlet or app, put into the search bar PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And while we're talking about those online apps and outlets, I need you to do something for me. I need you to rate and review. Rating and reviewing moves me up on the algorithm, and it lets those outlets and apps know that you're listening. And you don't have to be fancy about it. You don't have to give me more than the stars you think I deserve. And, you know, you could just write a quick, simple sentence. You don't have to write a book or anything. But again, rating and reviewing will help me out tremendously. And maybe, just maybe, if you're listening through your favorite outlet or app, maybe you also subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. But there's one final way that you can hear each week's episode, and that is on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, through the Facebook page at PVDcast, you can hear the episode for the week. So there's three different ways to hear the PVDcast: PVDcast.com, through your favorite outlet or app, and then on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time through the Facebook page. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you one more time for checking out the episode. And I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2025.